pictures continue to come through to us in relation to what's happening both in Iran, in Tehran, and different parts of the country of Iran, as well as what's happening in Beirut. There's a picture up from this morning of a huge blaze in Lebanon's southern coastal city of Tyre following an Israeli attack. Meanwhile, Azerbaijan is saying drones launched from Iran landed in its territory. There are surrounding issues as well continuing to develop in relation to the repatriation of people from Ireland and other countries trying to get out of the Middle East. Iran has claimed that it's targeted Kurdish groups in Iraq and warned separatist groups against action in the widening war. It said that it hit Iraqi-based Kurdish groups opposed to the revolution, as reports says the US was looking to arm Kurdish militias to infiltrate Iran. And that, again, I suppose, is another kind of an alarming widening of this conflict, going into different countries, into different areas. Missiles and drones have fallen near Azerbaijan airport. That's the latest report this morning as well. And Iran is targeting an oil tanker in the Persian Gulf. Their semi-official Tasnim news agency in Iran has reported an oil tanker in the northern Persian Gulf was hit by a missile launched by Iranian forces. The tanker was struck this morning in the northern Persian Gulf by forces of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and is currently on fire. There's no immediate comment from the US. The IRGC previously said it maintains full control of the Strait of Hormuz and effectively has closed it to oil and gas exports, which hasn't done any favours to anyone here in terms of oil prices and petrol prices and concerns about increases in the price of wholesale gas in Europe, which may feed through to electricity prices. So on and on that goes. No sign of it stopping. With me on the line to talk about this and other matters is Minister for Rural and Community Development and the Gaeltacht, Dara Cailleary, Minister for Social Protection, here in his capacity as Minister for Rural and Community Development and the Gaeltacht. Minister Cailleary, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gerry. Really, really good to be with you, and I'm speaking to you from Dingle. It's great to be here in the Kerry Gaeltacht.
Very good, and we'll be talking about why you're here in a moment. But first of all, could I just get your reaction to the concern about the length of time this war is going on, the widening of the war as well, the concern for our citizens and the concern for where this may go and what it might mean for us and for the wider security of the world?
So, absolutely, Gerry. I think we are in a very, very serious time. We have been for some time now, but this last few days have been... war doesn't solve anything. Violence doesn't solve anything. We know that here in our own country. And it's not going to resolve anything. You know, so in the context of Irish citizens, you know, we've been working very hard. Our team in across the UAE have been working very hard. Flights have started again. Flight came into Dublin last night. Another one is scheduled to leave Dubai today. So flights, commercial flights are beginning, and the charter flight is due to come from Oman this evening. And we continue to monitor very, very closely. I know Minister Helen McEntee, Minister Thomas Byrne are working exceptionally hard. But more importantly, Gerry, our team on the ground out there, and I've met them on several occasions, they are working hard to reassure people, to get information, working hard with airlines. But in the context of a war situation where airspace was effectively closed up until yesterday, that was very challenging. But to reiterate, Gerry, you know, my thoughts are with people who are there, with their families who are here at home. This is a very worrying time. We need people to be sure that they're registered on citizensregistration.tfa.ie. And if people have concerns that they want to discuss with the Department of Foreign Affairs, they can ring 01-408-2000 at any point. I think there will be engagement. But we're working on the charter flight. We're working to get flights out for those that want to come home. But ultimately, Gerry, the resolution to this is in talks, in people sitting around a table, and getting the stop to the violence. That's the most important thing. We've seen that in our own country.
We seem to be very far away from that point at the moment, given the sort of language coming out from the US administration.
Look, it doesn't help. Language doesn't help. You know, it's a time for calm heads. It's a time for experienced heads. So you keep pushing that this gets resolved, and you keep... You know, we certainly in Ireland, we've always stood up for what we call multilateralism, talking and negotiation. That's ultimately what resolves this. A war doesn't get anything done. It only frightens people. It puts people into situations. People lose their lives, and it's all needless. And that, you know, I often feel that in a world that aggression seems to be at the
order of the day. Might is right seems to be the order of the day.
We can't allow that be the order of the day, Gerry. We have to stand up for, we know from our own experience, our recent experience, that ultimately it's talks and negotiations that resolve things. And that's why it's important that we continue to stand up, and we're doing that. And I think that Taoiseach is one of the most experienced person in Europe to do that, and he's doing that.
Okay, Minister, can I ask you about the response from the government? First of all, we've seen some of the first commercial flights, thankfully, and hopefully that will see a further opening up and more people who want to leave places like Dubai and elsewhere in Irish citizens in Bahrain and Qatar and others can come home if they want to. You mentioned the charter flight from the Middle East. There's a government charge of €800 per seat, and Social Democrat Senator Patricia Stevenson has said this is a shakedown, not an evacuation. What's your response to charges?
No, I don't think that's fair. Safe. I don't think that's a fair accusation. The government and our team in the Department of Foreign Affairs have been working hard. So firstly, there was a lot of countries trying to get flights, so the cost of it was extraordinarily high, you know, to charter planes in such a difficult circumstance. And, you know, we have got it. Children are not being charged. Those that are on the flight won't be charged for the bus journey to Oman. And this is a contribution. The overall cost is, I don't have the overall cost, that's quite more significant than the contribution that's being made. But, you know, children are going to be free on this flight, and this is for people who need to get home for whatever reason. So,
this will lead to people not being able to take the flight. They might not be able to afford it. That price will become a barrier to their own safety.
The important thing, Gerry, in this is that from the interaction that our team on the ground are having with those that want to get home, with the vulnerable people, they will have flexibility in making assessment, and there shouldn't be any barriers to those who want to get home, to those who are vulnerable who want to get home. As I said, my understanding is that children are going to be free on this flight, but you know, it's important. You know, there is interaction. There is a lot of toing and froing with those who are declaring as vulnerable. And we also have the commercial flights beginning again as well. And I think if we can keep those commercial flights going and there'll be further charter flights, I would hope that we get the majority of those who want to come home as quickly as is possible.
Okay, Minister, on the wider sense of it, we're seeing stories of home heating oil continuing to climb nationwide. The average price for 500 litres now at €761 yesterday. It's an increase of more than 50% in less than a week. This is clearly price gouging in response to a crisis, isn't it? And what are you going to do about it?
So firstly, I agree with you on that, because any oil supplies that are in the country at this point came in before last weekend. And, they came in at a much lower price. The Taoiseach and the Economic Committee of the government met with the Consumer and Competition Protection Authority on Monday, and they've asked them to very much look at this. And I certainly spoke to the Taoiseach last night in my capacity as Minister for Social Protection, and he's very determined that this will be, that the CCPC, you know, do work on this. Secondly, Gerry, we've also done some work this week. We are expanding the fuel allowance to those on the working family payment. So there are 1,550 families in Kerry on the working family payment. They now have the fuel allowance for the first time ever since the 1st of March. But what they also have, Gerry, is we will be giving them a back payment this day week of €380 to bring it back to the 1st of January. And that will help working families who are in the lowest incomes with energy prices generally, but particularly with the spike at the moment.
Yeah,
so we're continuing to monitor it very closely, Gerry.
The Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, said it would not be appropriate for the government to provide short-term relief to households and businesses in light of rising energy costs. You have the home heating oil in one hand, you have 10 cent a litre in diesel and petrol in the last 2 days in response to this crisis. Well, it's more expensive for everything and everyone to move around to get to work. You're saying, sorry, we're not going to help.
No, what we've said and what Jack Chambers said was, in the context of a budget, that we introduced targeted measures for those who are directly affected. These will be permanent measures. They won't be temporary. And that the working family payment is an example of that. So there's 1,500, as I said, families, 50,000 families nationally, 1,500 in Kerry, that will now have the fuel allowance for fuel allowance season every year. Working families on low incomes. We've also said, and the Taoiseach has been very clear, that we're continuing to monitor this and continuing to monitor the various impacts. But we also have to ensure that our interventions are targeted and that those are under the most pressure get the assistance. That's why we've increased rates by social protection rates this year by 10 euros a week since the 1st of January. That's why on universal assistance, Jerry, we reduced the VAT rate on fuel. That continues to be reduced for, you know, and that's an important reduction as well. And that is making a difference.
Okay, final point on this, Minister Cleary. You mentioned the CCPC, and a lot of politicians have mentioned the CCP in recent days, but isn't it the reality that that's just kind of a fig leaf, a political out for ye in government, whether it's the Taoiseach or yourself or anyone else talking about it? The reality is CCP doesn't really have the powers. They themselves have been calling for increased powers over the last number of years. They're often reliant on lengthy court processes to impose significant sanctions. It can take years, and there's very little public confidence that anything will be done or can be done by the CCPC. If you were really serious about tackling things like price gouging, you would have put those powers in place instead of every time this happens, the CCPC will deal with it and nothing happens to the companies that are putting these price gouging prices in place.
I think I'm a former minister of state in the Department of Enterprise under its Department of Enterprise, CCPC is under. They have powers and they have actually taken action in this kind of situation before. They have taken action in the home heating oil sector before. And, you know, I think we will continuously engage with them in terms of powers. You know, in terms of the judicial process, there is a process that's set out in terms of people having a right to a hearing and that. But there's definitely been action taken by CCPC previously in the fuel space. And that's something, you know, we would encourage them to look back at that action, use what they learned from that action and use it on this occasion. But also, they have the power, they have the capability to actually point out and to show where price increases have happened that there's no justification for.
Okay, Minister, stay with me on the line. We're going to talk about why you're in Kerry, a number of projects that are coming to fruition. We'll get to that after we take these. We're talking with Minister for Social Protection and Minister for Rural Affairs, Darragh Cleary. Minister Cleary, thanks for staying with us. Just on to what you're in Dingle this morning. You're at a jobs announcement in Netfasta. You're also going to be turning the sod on a new playground in Dunquin for the local primary school community there. And a number of different issues as well, opening St. Mary's Temperance Hall, all delivered through, a lot of them delivered through leader funding.
A lot of them, Jerry, delighted to be here, really thrilled. My great friend and colleague, Minister Foley, Minister Omar Foley, has been chasing me for some time to come to Kerry along with Deputy Michael Cahill. So it's good to be here. And yeah, you know, today's, I'm with Netfasta, just going out to join them now here in Dingle. You know, a fantastic story of a company based in the Kerry Gaeltacht. We're going to be announcing 23 new jobs. And from the Kerry Gaeltacht, it has a global reach with other offices in Singapore, in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the United States. And that shows what can be done. That shows the kind of talent we have in our Gaeltacht right across the country, but especially here in Kerry. And then we're going on doing a number of events through LEADER, but also through funding from Town and Village Renewal, through the Community Centre Investment Fund, through the Community Recognition Fund. And all in all, Jerry, my department has invested over 114.5 million euro in County Kerry over the last 6 years. That's 114.5 million euro in projects, the length and breadth, and in different groups, the length and breadth of Kerry. So it's a chance for me over the next few days, with 20 different visits, to see those projects, to see the impact they're having on the ground, but also very much looking forward to the next wave of investment. And I already met people from Lisbon this morning, looking forward to hosting the Comórtas Pell na Gaeltacht next year, talking to them about their plans. And we're going to be talking not just what's done, but what's to do across the county. So it's going to be a busy 2 days, but it's going to be an invigorating 2 days for me to see work on the ground, to work with my Oireachtas colleagues, with the members of Kerry County Council, but with all the development groups around Agus Gahari, Heladini, Sagaeltacht, Marar na Gaeltacht, you know, Tashitavatut, Gowildesh, Agam Dogadi, Gaeltachiri, Agus Cuidiún na Heladini, Atogobar Kokrui, Gaeltachiri.
No, you're also visiting Rosna Gaeltacht and the part-funded housing project that addresses the lack of accommodation for Irish colleges in the area. That's in Ballyferriter today. There was a protest outside Dáilearn by the Teen Tán group, an umbrella group of different organisations on the Gaeltacht, on Tuesday, talking about the lack of housing and the real danger that the language is going to be hit even harder and possibly even die if people who speak Irish can't live in areas like the Gaeltacht. What would you say about those concerns this morning? morning.
No, absolutely. They're very valid concerns. So housing is responsibility for Minister James Brown in the Department of Housing, but I'm very much working closely with them in relation to Gaeltacht housing, because Tinton, you know, really constructively have put forward that argument. And it's true. If we don't have people living in the Gaeltacht speaking Irish, if they're not using it every single day, then we're not going to keep it. So I've been working very hard on this. So today's a really good example of how we can move the Uthros project in Ballyferrity. That's been supported by Uthros and by the department. We're also looking, Gerry, at other initiatives with Uthros on Uthros sites that we may be able to use for housing. Uthros have funded for the first time. We now have an officer based out of Mayo, but working across every Gaeltacht in the country, doing an analysis of housing in the Gaeltacht, and particularly of the amount of empty houses that are in Gaeltacht areas. And to that effect, over 300 houses in Gaeltacht areas have received the vacant houses grant to reinvigorate them and get people living back in them. So, you know, ultimately, it's the Department of Housing, and I'm working closely with James Brown, working closely. I'm going to be meeting over the course of the next 2 days the Chief Executive of Kerry County Council, looking to see what they can do and what help they need in Gaeltacht areas. And we will continue. And, you know, the Taoiseach has made it clear that he wants to see action on this.
Tinton have pointed to attacks in rural areas in Wales, areas where the language is a concern as well, attacks on second homes, attacks on holiday lets, in order to try and pay for the developments that are needed for local people. Is that something you'd support? Is that something the government should be looking at?
Look, I think we have investment. We're making significant investments. So, as you know, instance, the 300 grants in vacant houses, that's 50,000 ahead by 300. You know, we have no problem with investment. It's to make sure we have service land. And I have...
But there's a unique problem in Gaeltacht areas. It's incredibly attractive for people to buy holiday homes there. The market has gone through the roof, so local people have no hope of competing with the prices.
And that's what we need to answer, Gerry.
There's 111 properties in Dingle, 111 properties in Dingle for short-term let. There isn't a single long-term rental property available in Dingle this morning.
And ultimately what I want is affordable housing for families who speak Irish. We make affordable housing schemes available for families with a level of Irish and who will use that Irish to keep it alive. You know, we are, Minister Peter Burke is about to introduce short-term letting legislation that will bring regulation in relation to the short-term lets to the Airbnbs, et cetera, et cetera. But as you know, there's been controversy over that as well.
Yeah.
Our response,
but does there need to be a tax in Gaeltacht areas?
Response,
is the question. No, aside from that,
I don't think we need tax, because we have resources. The country is in a strong place economically because of the government, because of government's work, because of business, because of entrepreneurship, because of companies such as Netfasa. We have a strong economic position. What we need to do now is to provide affordable housing in Gaeltacht areas, and we're going to be using the Uthros land to do that, working with the local authorities, in this case, working with Kerry County Council. So there is a willingness to do that. We just need to get a proper structure in place, and I'm working on that with James Brown. We're bringing the services together, bringing Eiscarean together with Uthros, bringing Kerry County Council together, and I think we will be able to show progress on this.
Okay, Minister, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us this morning. Good luck on your trip around Kerry today and tomorrow. That's Minister for Social Protection and Minister as well for Rural and Community Affairs, Dara Kaleri, talking to me about those projects and those issues.